Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The race to replace Eamon Ryan as Green Party leader has entered its second day, with Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman reportedly edging ahead of Minister of State for Biodiversity Pippa Hackett. Now, whoever wins, the new leader faces the dual challenge of selling the message on climate change while attempting to grow the Green Party base in rural areas. In a moment, I'll be joined by Professor of Constitutional and European Law at University College London, Ronan McRae. But first, for the latest on the contest, we have former TD and Cork City Councillor Dan Boyle on the line, and also former Lord Mayor and Dublin City Councillor Hazel Chu. Dan, who will you be supporting for the leadership?
Well, the nominations close on Monday. I think there's still an opportunity for other candidates. What I'll be looking for, Claire, is a ticket as such, a balanced ticket. I think both candidates declared today have obvious strengths. I would be leaning towards one, but there could be other candidates, yes.
Who?
Well, I'm not going to go public on that yet, because I think it's about looking at the wider future of the party. I'm prepared to talk about it at the moment. But I do think we have people of ability in the party who can take up the mantle that Eamon has left us.
Hazel, who are you backing?
It took me some time, Claire, and I think after a good few conversations with members and also those who would have put themselves forward on the matter before, and also looking at electoral maths, I would be backing Roderick.
So. Right, because there is a big job for this next leader. As I mentioned there at the beginning, you've got this challenge of selling the message on climate change, but you've also got to grow the Green Party base in rural areas. What tells you that he can do that and Pippa Hackett can't?
It's not a matter that Pippa can't. It's a matter that Roderick has more experience on. I've had the pleasure of working with him on the executive. I've had the pleasure of working with him when I was leading electoral task force, when we gained the most seats. And what I can tell you about Roderick is he knows how to run campaigns. So some of them may fail, some of them succeed, but through the last two decades of his time within the party, he has built up a lot of knowledge and strength within campaigning. And that's what we are going to have to get back to. We need to sell that message to rural Ireland. We need to sell it to our voters in urban areas. And the message is very clear that there is a climate emergency and we need people to get involved and we need people to vote green.
Okay. Dan, to come back to you, do you think it is important for the next leader to be a TD in the Dáil?
I think members will be weighing that up very carefully. I think it's important for the party to have a strong parliamentary presence, and the leader should be the leader of a parliamentary party from Dáil Éireann. But that determines what's going to happen in the next general election as well. So I think people will be asking questions about who's likely to be a Green representative in the next Dáil as much as who has a current position that would allow them to be a strong leader now, and lead us into that election.
Can I ask you, when you look at the two candidates, have you made up your mind and you're just not telling us, or you haven't made up your mind?
Well, I was asked to give a broad overview of what the party's future is likely to be. So I was party chair 10 years ago at the last leadership election, so I have a natural caution in terms of letting the process speak for itself, letting the opportunity of all of the candidates. I would be having as much importance as a Green Party member on the deputy leader position, and I think we look at things about balance between Dublin and the rest of the country. We look at gender balance. We look at future contributions, and there could be still other candidates who come into the fray.
Okay, well, let's look at the challenges facing the party. So in the local elections we've just had, you dropped down to 23 local seats. You're one of three elected in Cork City, but the lion's share are in the Greater Dublin commuter belt. Should the Green Party just admit now that you're an urban party, predominantly an urban party, that voters in rural Ireland, Dan, are just not that into you?
Well, I think there's a narrative that we have to counter that we haven't been very successful at countering. There's a lot of projection on the Green Party by other politicians, other political parties, and aiming on an individual basis suffer that more than most. But if you look at our record, there's a lot of things that we aspire to achieving a better rural Ireland, and some of the policies that we've managed to put in place and succeed in having resourced are having effect, like the local link bus service. There's been a new local link bus service every week for the last 2 years. It's been a phenomenal investment, and there's been a huge take-up. So the idea that the Greens are indifferent to rural Ireland or are antipathetic to rural Ireland is a myth. And we believe in a country where resources are properly allocated and communities of all types and sizes are able to prosper in a green and sustainable way.
But we're as much a party for rural Ireland as we are for urban Ireland. But if that myth has managed to take hold, does the Green Party not have to take some responsibility for not pushing back effectively against it?
Of course, of course. And these are questions we constantly ask ourselves. When you're a smaller party, you have enemies on either side of you. There are people who would aspire to a lot of our values who would claim that we're not doing enough or quick enough. There are people who oppose us on the basis that if we aspire to do anything at all, we're doing something that's wrong. So that's the nature of political life and public service. But it's a challenge we're trying to meet every day.
Mm-hmm. Hazel, what's your view on this? I mean, Eamon Ryan, to some extent, became a lightning rod for, rightly or wrongly, for everything that rural voters don't like about the government up in Dublin. Like, how will your next leader avoid the same fate, particularly if they go for who you would like to see leader, another Dublin TD?
Claire, you and I both know that everyone needs a punching bag. So especially when it comes to a lot of the misinformation spread about when if you look at some rural spokespeople, they tend to like to punch at the Greens. So, but to Dan's point, it doesn't mean that we haven't been effective in those areas. It does not mean we have not been effective in rural Ireland. However, it is that people are spinning a different narrative because they want... They don't want to see a green agenda. How do we fix it? We want to make sure that those counties, those places have green representation. And what we've seen through the local elections is, yes, we didn't elect Greens in certain areas, but we did build a base. If you look at tallies and votes, and this is where it matters, because the next leader needs to know how the electoral mat and electoral strategy work, is that we have been building a green base for, across various counties, places where we never had green representation. We now have a seed there, excuse the pun. So it will grow. Okay. And that's what we're looking for.
All right. Hazel Chu and Dan Boyle, thank you for joining us. I want to bring in Professor Ronan McRae, listening to all of that, because if we look across Europe, Ronan, climate change has never been more evident or the need to address it more urgent. And yet, with some exceptions, the Greens have lost ground right across Europe. Why is that so?
Yeah, it's very interesting. The Greens find themselves in a strange position. 20 years ago, when I was studying comparative politics, the big difference was centre-left, centre-right in Europe. They were the two blocks that fought each other. And now things have changed. Now the competition is, the centre-left and centre-right find themselves in a kind of agreement, but they're the parties that are willing to operate the system. And their main opposition is the kind of radical left and radical right, who are anti-system. And the Greens aren't clear whether they're system or anti-system. In some countries, like the UK or France, where the electoral system doesn't give them much of a chance of getting into government, they're kind of anti-system. They're in with the radical parties. But then in countries like Germany and Ireland, where the electoral system and coalition means they can get into office, the Greens are a system party. And often Green parties, actually the Irish Green Party, has a kind of system wing and an anti-system wing. So it's quite hard for them to position themselves in the big kind of clash in Europe, which is between system and anti-system parties.
If we look closely then at the situation in Ireland, in the last election we had most recently, the big issues were immigration and housing. Is there a sense, would you say, amongst the electorate that the Greens are maybe off message on people's key concerns?
Yeah, so the Green Party is normally a collection. They have a very high prioritisation of obviously environmental issues, climate change and that. And then they're generally quite a socially liberal party. And they get there, that's why they do well in kind of middle class suburbs and things like that. And they are kind of, they have two kind of dilemmas. One is, what extent do they prioritise their environmental agenda over other issues? And actually, you see the Irish Greens under Eamon Ryan haven't rocked the boat on many issues in the coalition. They have a clear agenda of what they wanted to get done on the environment, and they didn't make trouble on other issues. And then they also have their kind of socially liberal wing, which some of whom left the Green Party they disagreed with various government policies. And also you find then, as public opinion turns on things like migration, the Green vote in common with other parties starts falling. But the Greens have always had to decide, do they want to be really prioritise their environmental goals and be very pragmatic and just push in coalition on those issues, or do they want to be a wider anti-system party? Because you see, there are parties like People Before Profit that are kind of interior as green as the Greens, but just the environment isn't as much of a priority for them. Mm-hmm. They want to change the economic system probably more than they want to protect the environment, for where the Greens is probably the other way around.
So what way should the Greens go? Is there an example from around Europe where they've successfully managed to navigate this, where their priorities should be to win electoral success?
Well, it depends what they want. It depends what you regard as electoral success. Do you want to maximise your vote in a country like the UK and have lots of votes but no seats and not change policy? Or do you want, like the Irish Greens, kind of to build up over a few elections, get into coalition, and then realise that you'll probably lose all your seats or most of your seats, and then hopefully but get a lot of policy implemented? And the Irish Greens have generally chosen, let's try and get our policies implemented, even though that's going to hurt us in the coming election. You know, that's not a choice that all parties want. And actually, there's an interesting tension, because the Green Party TDs and senators may be more moderate, but the leader is elected, as in the British Conservative Party, by the individual members, who tend to be less moderate than the average voter. So there might be an interesting tension for the Irish Greens between the membership, who are more radical, less interested in kind of tacking and winning over floating voters, and TDs and senators, who actually in the Greens, in most parties, they have the predominant voice in electing the leadership, but in the Green Party they don't. So there could be an interesting kind of the Greens being pulled in two different ways. The only thing you'd remember, though, for the Greens just electorally, is that the Irish electoral system means if 80% of people hate the Greens and 20% of people love them, they'll get loads of seats, because in the Irish system you only need 15-20% to win a seat in the constituency. Right. The Greens are not looking for a majority. They're looking for to hang on to a few seats.
Professor,
so motivating the small amount of people who want to is the rest.
Ronan, thank you very much for your time. That's Professor Ronan McRae. And as Dan Boyle reminded us, the nominations for the Green Party Leadership Contest are open now, and they'll close at 9 o'clock on Monday night. So we'll know then who is putting themselves forward for the job. But at the moment, we have Minister of State Pippa Hackett and Minister for Children and Integration Roderick O'Gorman. Now, coming up next, when the movie moguls get it wrong, Adam Maguire on Hollywood's biggest flops.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.